Good morning. I'm going to present to you an update on the research that we have been doing at Texas A&M to move forward this trait, the ultra-low gossypool seed trait, into elite cultivars of cotton in the U.S. So first I will start with a quick summary of the cotton industry. It's a very important industry. It has an estimated business revenue of $120 billion. And it's grown in 17 states, covering in 2010 more than 10 million acres. And of these, 97% is upland cotton, or Gossypium hirsutum, and the remaining is Pima cotton, or Gossypium barbadense, which is another tetraploid species of cotton. In 2010, the estimated production is of more than 18 million bales. The cotton seed industry is also important. The production averages 6 million tons, and regarding it's being used mostly for feeding livestock and dairy cattle. And for human consumption, the main product is cottonseed oil, and more than 150 million gallons are produced. So there are many reasons why the introduction of the low gossypool trait is important. One of it is that more than 50% of the harvest tonnage in the field is the seed, that it's being underutilized, being used mostly as feed, as I said, for ruminants, animals. And this is very good quality seed. It has high quality protein and a good large amount of oil. So what is gossypool? Gossypool is the main reason why the seed is underutilized. It's a polyphenol, a terpenoid, present in glands all throughout the plant, but it's toxic to monogastric animals, including humans, and it's important for the plant. It's a natural defense against insect pests and diseases. For many years, breeders have tried to develop plants, cotton plants, without gossypool in the seed so that we can consume it, but they have not been successful. In fact, in the 1960s, a glandless cotton variety, a wild cotton variety from the Hopi Indians, was crossed with cultivars of that time, and a glandless cotton cultivar was developed. But when it was planted in 1970, it was not successful because it was more susceptible to pests, even attracting insects that were not usual cotton pests. So in 2006, Dr. Rator's group at the Borlaug Center in Texas A&M developed a transgenic line with this ultra-low gossypool trait. They did this by transgenic approach with Agrobacterium with RNAi silencing. They used a strong seed-specific promoter, the alpha-globulin promoter, an antisense fragment of the delta-carenin synthase enzyme. In this way, the enzyme was silenced only in the seed, and these plants were producing seed with very reduced amount of gossypool. So as you can see in the picture from their paper, the wild-type plants have a large number of glands with gossypool, while the transgenic plants have very few glands containing gossypool. Our main objective is to breed this trait into elite cultivars of the US and of Africa. So we are doing this by introgressing the trait with Buckross method. The trait was introduced into Coker 312, which is an old variety with average yield potential and lean potential. So we want to introduce these to modern varieties, which are high yielding. Four of them, six lines are used. Four of them are from the US and two of them are from Africa. So in the greenhouse, a first crossing was done between these six lines, which do not contain the transgene, and the transgenic plant. These plants were homozygous and had one copy of the transgene. We obtained F1 seed. This seed was hemizygous, meaning that it had one copy of the transgene coming from the donor parent. The seed was planted, and it was crossed, and those plants were crossed again with these six lines, and we obtain the Bacros 1F1 seed. This seed can either be hemizygous, meaning that they have the transgene they got from the F1 parent, or they can be, we can say, recessive for the trait. They do not carry a copy of the transgene. Currently, this Bacros 1F1 seed was planted, and the plants are growing in the greenhouse in order to be able to cross them again with the 6 elite lines and get the Bacros 2F1 seed. But at this point here, we needed a way to screen for the trait, a way to determine which seed carry the trait so that we can use them as parents. So two screening methods were tested. One is the fluoroglucinol assay, which is an assay, a colorimetric assay in the lab. And the other one is we were exploring Fourier transformed near infrared spectroscopy, FTNIR. That has been already used in agriculture research. It has already been used for gossypol, but it has not been tested in whole seed. So we needed to develop a calibration curve first. For the fluoroglucinol screening, we used two seed populations. One were the F2 cotyledons, which came from selfing the F1 plants. The F2 seed was planted, we got the cotyledons, and when they were 1 week old, they were sampled. Same thing was done with the Bacros 1F1. For this part of the test, we already knew that fluoroglucinol was a good assay for measuring gossypol levels. So we used a small amount of seed to test. We tested 9 seed from this F2, which are in red. And we expected a 3-to-1 ratio of seed that had high levels of gossypol versus seed that had low levels of gossypols because they had the transgene in them. And we got something that it's that looks like we have a method to determine this. We got one of these 9 seed that had high levels of gossypol that were like its control. This is one of the parents that has normal gossypol levels. It was one of the parents used for the cross. And this is the LCT transgenic control. These are the plants that have low gossypol levels. So we can see that this method can be used for this population. And something like that happened also with the Bacros 1F1. We tested the cotyledons. We expected here a 1-to-1 ratio of seed that had low gossypol levels and seed that had high gossypol levels. We found 5 seed out of the 13 that had high gossypol levels in accordance to their control. It's this little one here. It's non-transgenic control, and the ones that have low gossypol levels, are in accordance to the LCT transgenic control. For the FTNIR calibration curve, we used 37 seed samples from the breeding program. The spectra was collected for whole seed, and then this whole seed was ground, and the spectra was collected again. This is the instrument that was used. It's a thermoscientific FTNIR analyzer. We used the fluoroglucinol assay to measure the levels of gossypol in these samples, and we developed a preliminary calibration curve. For the whole seed curve, we found a very good fit. It has a high coefficient of correlation. Here we were testing the FTNIR spectrum of one seed sample with its with the amounts of gossypol measured with the fluoroglucinol level. So we found fluoroglucinol assay. So we found a good correlation for this. Random samples were used for validation. We also found a good correlation and a good calibration curve for the ground seed. Again, these were the same seed samples that were measured for the whole and then grounded and measured with the fluoroglucinol analysis. So at this point, we think that both methods are good and can be used for screening for the ultra-low gossypol trait. Both of them are robust and they are qualitative, so this is very important for us. The fluoroglucinol assay is fast and it's fairly cheap, and it can be done in the green in the lab very easily. At this point, we had to plant the seed and then test the cotyledons. So we had to add an extra step. What we would like to test in the future is to see if we can measure it in the seed and discard those seeds that we are not interested in before planting. So we already tried with seed chipping, so measuring gossypol with fluoroglucinol in a very small sample, and it can be done. The critical part was the germination of the seed after the seed chipping. So we need to still work on that. And for conclusions for the preliminary FT-NIR calibration curve, more samples need to be added to make it more robust, but we have seen that this is a method that will work. We also want to test this on single seed, meaning that if we have if we harvest the seed from the cross, we can test each single seed and determine if it has low or high amounts of gossypol, and in that way determine if we are going to use it or if we are going to discard it. I would like to acknowledge my major professor, Dr. Steve Haig, and my co-advisor, Dr. Rator, and all the other people that have been helping in this process, Dr. Seth Mary for his advice on the use of the FT-NIR, and my support, our support, the Monsanto Graduate Assistantship and Cotto Incorporated. Thank you very much. Yes.
I can see why you want to measure gossypol in the back cross generations, but are you also developing a DNA assay to be able to rapidly select individuals that have the gene that are hemizygous or segregating for the gene and then look at phenotype? Or are you pursuing a DNA assay for this?
So the question is if we are going to test also with PCR the presence or absence of the transgene? Well, at this point, we could do that. We could use the PCR for a presence-absence test. But we knew that the fluoroglucinol assay was good for this and that it would allow us at this point to move forward seed that we wanted or to discard seed that we didn't want. But for the future, yes, we will need to self this seed and produce seed that are homozygous. And at that point, the real-time PCR, for instance, would be a good tool that will tell us the number of copies, it will tell us if it's homozygous or not, not just presence, absence of the gene.
Any more questions?
Thank you very much.